be back here with you again tonight in Coleraine. And I really enjoyed it tonight. I think you're even better than you were this morning. So I really enjoyed all the boys and girls. Your singing was wonderful. Your reading was very good again. So it's good to be back with you tonight and to come and to bring your story again here tonight in Coleraine. But before we come to our story, we're going to pray first. And remember what the ABC of prayer was from this morning? What does A stand for? We fold our arms. B, we bow our heads. And C, we close our eyes and close our mouths. We're going to pray unto God. So everybody quiet. We're going to pray to God. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for this meeting here tonight already. We thank Thee, Lord, for everyone who took part. And we pray, Lord, and thank Thee, Lord, even for the messages and song and the message from the Word of God that was brought before us tonight. Lord, pray give us help tonight as we look at the story again tonight. And we just pray again that Thou would speak even on each one of us here in this meeting here tonight. For your sake, we ask all of these things. Amen. Now, can anyone remind me, what day is it today? It's Children's Day, but it is also one of our special day. It is, yes, Father's Day, yes. So did anybody make their daddy a nice lunch today? What did, nobody? Anybody? Oh, Wiener Hans, what did you have for dinner today? What did you have? Sunday dinner, you can't be a good Sunday dinner. Well, I made my daddy mussels for dinner. Did anybody here ever have mussels before? Do you like mussels? I love mussels. And we had mussels for our dinner today because my daddy loves mussels. And it was really, really lovely. So it was. But we were taught this morning and we learned even, we were doing about Father's Day today and about how we have Father's Day to show our dads how much we love them and how much we care for them and how much we want to show them how grateful we are for everything that they have done for us. And what Fowler did we look at this morning, boys and girls? Anybody tell me? What Fowler? Any of the wee ones know? Who was it? Do you know? You know? Yeah. King, what was his name? He fought a giant. David, good job. King David. And does anyone remember, it's a bit harder, anyone remember who his son's name was? What his son's name was? Begins with A, yes. Say it again. Absalom. Absalom. Good job. That's a hard name. It is. It's a very hard name. Okay, King David, and we had Absalom. Now, was Absalom a good son or a bad son? Yes? He was a bad son. What did Absalom do at the very start of our story? He said, you are right. He killed his brother. And that was not a very nice thing for Absalom to do. Good job. That was good. But then what did Absalom decide to do next? What was the next bad thing that he did? He wanted to become king. Yes, he did. And so he decided that his dad was no longer wanted to become king. And so Absalom decided that he wanted to become the next king. And so he took over the throne. I remember he was going to fight his daddy. He was going to kill David. But who was on David's side that wasn't on Absalom's side? Who was on David's side? God was. Yes, he was. He was. I'm glad you were listening this morning. At least it shows you're listening. Good. So God was on David's side. And God, he helped David win the victory over Absalom. And what happened to Absalom? What did he get? What happened to him? Remember? Anybody remember? Yes. You're right. He caught his hair in a tree and he was killed by one of David's captains. Was David sad at him being killed? Yes, he was. Remember, we saw that photo where David mourned. He wept for his son. And we are told that reminds us of God's love for us. Even though we are sinners, even though we were sinners, God still loved us in this so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. And we learned this morning that we have one of two choices. Either we be like Absalom, who wanted nothing to do with God or nothing to do with living being good before God and living a life that was pleasing in God's eyes. Or we can realize that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. And we can come and we can ask God to save us. Now that was very well done. They did pretty well with their questions. That was very good. Hopefully your lesson is good tonight. And we're going to come to another daddy tonight. And our daddy tonight, you'll find him near the very start of the Bible. These holy stories are found in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. And he was a very important father in the Bible. Okay, now that's not a lot of clues. But anyone want to try to guess what father we're going to look at today? Tonight, yeah. Well done. Good job. Tonight we are going to look at Abraham. Anybody know who Abraham's wife was called? We had Abraham and Sarah. Good job. So we had Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham and Sarah, they were two people who loved God. They were people who followed after the word of God, followed after the commandments of God. And they were two people who truly loved God and wanted to do what God told them to do. And God did. He came to Abraham one day and he told Abraham to leave his country and to follow God to a new country that God had promised him. And we are told that Abraham, without hesitation, got up, he took his family, he took his wife, and they took him on a long journey to the new country, that country that God had promised for him. But that wasn't the only promise that God gave to Abraham. God also promised Abraham that he would have many, many sons and many descendants. Now, does anybody know how many stars are in the sky? Anybody want to have a guess? How many stars? 100. More than 100? More than a million? Do you want to try?
100.
Well, maybe not that. Well, according to the leading scientists of the day, there are over... Is she ready? There are over 100 billion stars in the sky. Now, that's a lot of stars. And God came and told Abraham that his descendants, he would have more children than there were stars in the sky. And God promised Abraham that he would have children. So I want you to remember that. It's a very important promise. And God promised Abraham that he would have children. You know, many years passed, and Abraham and Sarah never had a child. They never had a baby. And I'm sure that Abraham and Sarah maybe thought that perhaps God had forgotten about the promise, or perhaps God just thought, well, but you know, God never forgets his promises, and God never breaks the promise. Remember, what had God promised Abraham and Sarah? That they would have a child. You're right. And so, many years passed, and I'm sure Abraham and Sarah perhaps forgot, maybe thought God had forgot about this promise that they would have a child. And we are told that when Abraham was 99 years old, he had visitors one day. Anybody here ever get visitors to their house? Yeah, I'm sure you all do. Your mummy and daddy, they get all ready, and they get the dinner all sorted, and you have visitors come to your house. And one day, Abraham was sitting in his tent, and he saw these three men coming towards him. And he thought to himself, back in those days, it's custom for you, if a visitor passed through your house, you invited them in for a cup, for some water, for a little bit of something to eat, and let them rest before they went on their journey again. Because did they have cars back in those days? No, they didn't. Planes, nothing like that there. People walked or rode on horses, things like that. And so it was good. It was nice to invite people into your house and to allow them to rest for a little bit before they started their journey again. And these three men, they came past Abraham's house, and Abraham said, please come in, let me wash your feet, let's have a little bit of food, and let's have a little time of fellowship together. And so Abraham, he called him Sarah, and he said, Sarah, quickly, go make me something for these men to eat. Now, you know what your mummies are like sometimes. There's somebody in the house, they'll be standing at the door wondering, who is that? What are they saying in there? They're talking to your daddy, maybe they're wanting to know what's going on. And sure enough, we're told that Sarah, look, you see, she's hiding in here. She's trying to find out who these men are. She doesn't know who they are, and she wants to know what they are saying. And you know, these men started talking to Abraham. And one of the men, very strangely, said to Abraham, remember, Abraham had never met these men before, said to Abraham, Abraham, your wife Sarah is going to have a baby. Now, when Sarah heard this, does anybody know what Sarah did? She laughed. We are told that she laughed. When she heard these men say this, she laughed. Because she thought to herself, Sarah was 90 years old at this point. And she thought to herself, me? Have a baby? Does he not know that I'm 90 years old? Does he not know that Abraham is 99 years old? There's no way that we could have a baby. You know, this man, when Sarah laughed, this man said, why does Sarah laugh? Does she not know that with God, is there anything not possible with God? And when these men said this, Abraham and Sarah realized that these were no ordinary men. They were sent from God to tell Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a baby. And the angel said to Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You know, boys and girls, if you're a Christian here tonight, maybe you're going through some hard times at school. Maybe you're going through some hard times even in your family. And maybe you have a problem and you just don't know how you're going to deal with it. But you know, we should remember that too. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Or maybe you have a family member, maybe your mummy, your daddy, your brother and your sister, and they're not saved. And maybe you pray that they get saved. And maybe you've maybe given up and you've thought to yourself, it's too hard. Maybe they'll never get saved. Like, how can they be saved? But you remember, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. These adults who are here tonight, perhaps you are going through tough times as well, perhaps issues that no one knows about. You remember too, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And we learned this from Abraham. There was nothing too hard for the Lord to do. And sure enough, did Abraham and Sarah have a little boy? Yes, they did. Anybody know his name? Yes. Not Jacob, you're nearly close. Jacob's daddy. What is his name? Isaac, you're right. And they had a little baby boy, and his name was Isaac. And we're told that Abraham was 100 years old when he had this little baby boy. Maybe some of you think your daddy's very old, but this is properly old. He was 100 years old when he had this little boy. And I am sure there was much love given to this little boy, Isaac. I am sure that they were so happy that they had this little boy. Girls. Shh. I am sure there was much joy, much laughter at this little boy who was brought into this family. And little Isaac, I'm sure that Abraham and Sarah just couldn't wait till they could play with Isaac, till they brought him up, and they could watch him grow and turn into a man. And I'm sure there was much laughter and much joy in that household. But you know, it all was to change very soon. Because one day, God came to Abraham and he said to Abraham, I want you to give up your son that you love, and I want you to sacrifice him to me on the altar. God wanted Abraham to sacrifice his own son on the altar. And God was testing Abraham. God was testing Abraham to see if Abraham would believe that God was going to keep his promise. Remember, what was his promise? That his family would cover the whole earth, that he would have more children than the stars in the sky. And God was testing Abraham to see if he would believe in God's promise and to see if Abraham would do what God wanted him to do. And I am sure Abraham's heart sunk when he heard that God wanted him to sacrifice his son on the altar. But you know, Abraham could easily have said, no, I'm not doing it. And I'm sure we wouldn't have blamed Abraham for saying that. Abraham could have said, no, I'm not doing it. I love him too much. I'm not giving up my son. But we are told in the Bible that the very next morning, Abraham took his son Isaac and two of his servants and began the journey to the land of Moriah, where God had told Abraham, sacrifice his son on the altar. I know they started off in their journey, and I'm sure the whole way to there, Abraham was worried about what was going to happen. And at the end of 3 days, they got to the end of the mountain, to the bottom of the mountain, and Abraham said to his servants, you stay here, me and Isaac will go up the mountain. And on their way up the mountain, Isaac, he began to think, there's something missing for us to make this sacrifice unto God. We have the wood, we have the fire, but we've nothing to put on the offering, on the sacrifice. And Isaac asked his dad, he said, "Where we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the burnt offering?" And Abraham replied saying that God would provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And we find out that Abraham, they got to the top of the mountain, they built the altar, and Abraham began to tell Isaac that he was the offering for the altar. And Abraham, he bound up Isaac, he bound his hands, he bound his feet, and he placed him on the altar. Now Isaac could easily have run away from Abraham. Remember, Abraham was 100, over 100 at this point. And Isaac was faster, he was stronger, he could have ran down the mountain, he could have ran away. But no, Isaac did what his dad told him to do. That's different from Absalom this morning. Did he do what his dad told him to do? No. But Isaac, he did what his father told him to do. And we are told that he went on the altar. And we are told then that Abraham, he raised up the knife to kill his son But just before he did, a voice came and said, "Abraham, Abraham, do not harm thy son." And Abraham was told to look in the thicket, and there, stuck in a bush, was a ram's horn, caught by its horns in the thicket. And that was the ram that God had provided instead of Isaac. Abraham had passed God's test, and Abraham had shown that he was willing to do anything for the Lord because he loved him so much. And we are told that Abraham then took the ram and he killed the lamb and he placed it on the altar, and there they all worshipped God. Now, what do we learn from this story tonight, boys and girls? Well, you know, just like God provided a lamb or a ram for Isaac and for Abraham that day, God has also provided a lamb for the sacrifice on the cross to take away our sins. Who was God's lamb that he sent to die on the cross for our sins? Who was it? Yes. Jesus Christ, you're right. And you know, boys and girls, why did Christ have to come and die on the cross? Well, it's very simple. Because we all have what in our hearts? What do we have in our hearts? What are we born with? Yes. Sin in our hearts. And because we are born with sin in our hearts, boys and girls, that means that if we were to die with sin in our hearts, the Bible tells us very clearly that if we die with sin in our hearts, where will we go? Will we go to heaven or will we go to hell? Who knows? If we die with sin in our hearts, where do we go? Yes. Yes. The Bible tells us that God hates sin. God cannot look upon sin. And so if you die with sin in your heart, that means that you will go to hell. And I know it's not very nice to think about that. It's not very nice to talk about hell. But that's what the Bible very clearly tells us. But the Bible also tells us that there's a way to escape the punishment for our sins. And that is through the Lamb that God offered on the cross in our place. And that Lamb, like somebody said, was Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ came to earth, because he died on the cross, because he shed his blood on the cross, it means that we can come and we can ask God, or we can ask Christ to take away our sins. And Christ says that he will do it. And then what does that mean? If we die with our sins washed away, if we die with our hearts clean before God, where will we go instead? We will go to heaven, you are right. And there we will spend an eternity in our home with our heavenly Father. I know that is the only way that we can be saved. Now, coming to church will not save you. And it's good that you've come here tonight. I'm very glad to see you all in here tonight. But you know, coming to church will not save you from your sins. Coming to church will not get you into heaven. Even your mummy and your daddy being saved will not get you into heaven. And even trying to live a good life and trying to do the best that you can in the eyes of God and trying not to lie, trying not to steal, trying not to cheat, that will never get you into heaven. The Bible tells us that the only way that you can be saved is by coming and asking the Lord into your heart. And you know, the story of Abraham and Isaac, it shows us that so clearly. It shows us that the only way that we can be saved is by looking to the Lamb of God who was slain on the cross for our sins. Boys and girls, that is me finished. Thank you very much for allowing me to part of your special day today. Thank you again for having me here and for listening so well. And especially this morning, being able to listen up, answer all the questions there tonight. And I hope that tonight you will make that choice, each one of us here again. We talked about that choice this morning, that you will make that choice to come and to ask God to take away your sins. Thank you.